So I guess I'd also like to add my welcome to what's been expressed this morning. For a few moments, we'd like to study some of God's Word and what people who really want to follow Jesus, who really want to become one of his followers, the kind of relationship that they can have with God. Last August, I brought a lesson related to some of the terms that the Bible uses for the relationship that people, faithful people, can have with God. And at that time, we focused on the term friendship, that God seeks a friendship, a close relationship, if you will, that we have with him. This morning, we're kind of follow a similar pattern, if you will. And in this particular case, we want to look at being a member of God's family, a different term. And, of course, we have a quote, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." We see this promise in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. We also see it kind of repeated in 2 Corinthians 6, 18. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. A lot of different terms, as we alluded to, for our relationship that we can have with deity. Teacher and a disciple or follower, John 13, 13, Matthew 28, 19. Shepherd and sheep, of course, Jesus being the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, and 27 and 20 through 29. Savior and those who are saved, John chapter 4, 42, 1 John 4, 14. King and citizens of his kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. As well as Lord or Master and servants. Now, within our American culture, we kind of bristle at that kind of terminology. But nonetheless, that's what the Bible uses as a way of describing the relationship we have. John chapter 13, 13, and Colossians 4, 1. Now, if you notice, each one of those kind of represents a different relationship, if you will, a different aspect of the kind of relationship that we can have with deity, with God, with Jesus, etc. So it is with family. So we have verses that we have up here on the board that describe a relationship between father and children. As we saw also in our opening quote, Matthew 5:48, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." John chapter 1, verse 12, describing those, as many as receive him, power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Galatians 3:26, "You're all children of God," by faith. It is conditional. And we'll get into that as we get near the end. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the latter half. "No longer strangers, but members of the household or family of God." Similar nuances. That makes us what? Those who are faithful, brothers and sisters within the family. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through and 30. Jesus has this promise. "There's no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother." And he goes on to say, "shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers." Again, talking about a spiritual relationship. Likewise, 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. Referring to older, younger men, women. "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Younger men as brethren. Elder women as mothers. Younger as sisters." Again, leveraging off of terms we commonly associate with a physical family to describe the relationship we have one to another. Not just our relationship to God, but to each other. And this is an interesting one. Jesus as our brother. Normally we don't think in those terms. But if you notice, Romans 8, 29, referring to Jesus, firstborn among many brothers. Likewise, Hebrews 2, 11. He's not ashamed to call them brethren or brothers. Now, normally we think of Jesus as, you know, Lord, Savior, Teacher, and all those are true. But this also puts kind of an interesting nuance, if you will, to the relationship. Jesus as our brother as well. Now, we have to pause for a moment and recognize that this kind of family relationship really kind of exists, if you will, on two separate levels. There's like a, if you will, a global level where it is referring to a singular family, you know, the household of God. 1 Peter 2:17 refers to the brotherhood. In essence, all of the saved in, quote unquote, God's family. There's also a level, if you will, a local level. Brethren in various locations, right? Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, those on Holly Street, as an example. Romans 16:16, referring to churches, now plural, of Christ. And likewise, 1 Corinthians 11:18 talks about when you come together, you know, as a church congregation. So we have global family, local family, if you will. Two different levels. And as we kind of go through the rest of the lesson this morning, we'll need to kind of keep that in mind, because some of the verses we'll be examining later on are referring more toward the entire family or the entire house of God, and some are referring to like the local family or the local congregation. So we have to keep that in mind. So what we want to do is kind of do a comparison throughout the whole lesson. Now, certainly we understand the concept of physical families. And this morning, we're kind of draw kind of three parallels, if you will. One is with the benefits of being within a physical family, the duties of being in a physical family, as well as some of the challenges of being in a physical family. And we'll see as we go throughout the lesson, when we start making application to spiritual family or local families, global family, local family, likewise, there are benefits, there are duties, there are challenges. Now, I'll need to say right up front that this bottom line takeaway is pretty important. You know, the kinds of things we see here, you know, benefits and duties, you know, that assumes or is based upon the family, whether it's physical or spiritual, same, functioning as God would have it. Because we all know that there are, quote unquote, dysfunctional physical families. Likewise, they're dysfunctional spiritual families. So to avoid me having to repeat, you know, this sort of disclaimer, you know, as we talk about benefits and duties, for example, there you are, one time. When functioning as God would have it, both as a physical family and as a spiritual family. So let's talk for a few moments about the benefits of physical family. Okay? And I've just listed a few here for you to think about. You know, certainly the necessities of life, given within a family, you know, food and clothing and shelter and those kinds of things. A certain degree of protection. I mean, you have parents looking out for their children, best interests, the kind of food they feed them or where they allow them to play or don't allow them to play, you know, out in the street is a bad example, etc. Instruction. You know, where do you learn the native language? Well, within the family, right? Physical family. Manners, customs, etc. Instruction given within the physical family. A certain degree of identity. And generally speaking, you know, whether it's racial, ethnic, social, economic, etc. Certain sense of identity, if you will. Certain, you know, family history, you know, what the family's about, what the family tends to like or doesn't like, etc. A certain degree of identity, you know, from the family unit. And certainly, you know, friendship, love, caring, nurturing, the concept not just living in a house, but living in a home, and all the emotional, you know, context around that. So, benefits of a physical family. Several. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So what we'll do now is we'll take each of those, right, and look at the spiritual parallel. Benefits of, oh, left out one, number 6. inheritance, at least with some families. You know, there's a sense of inheritance with, you know, as grandparents pass on, you know, certain physical items that are passed down, you know, to parents, to children, etc. Likewise, when parents die, often there's, you know, things that are passed down, you know, family heirlooms. Sometimes it's money or property or whatever, a certain degree of you know, inheritance within the family. So we have six items. Let's do a parallel within the spiritual family. Now, necessities of life, necessities of spiritual life. So we have Ephesians chapter 1, likewise 1 Peter. And I think, get rid of that Ephesians, I think this is 1 Peter 2. Newborn babes, you know, desire the sincere milk of the word. There's that construct within the local family as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, talking about having blessed us with Christ, in Christ, every spiritual blessings that we now have in Christ, predestined us to adoption as sons. Oh, in him we have redemption, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So within the spiritual family, we have adoption. This is another way of viewing that. Babes, nourishment, food, every spiritual blessing within the family, within the spiritual family. Protection. There's also a sense of protection within the spiritual family. Certainly in a local family, local church, congregation. You know, Acts chapter 20, 28 through 31. Paul speaking to, I believe, the elders of Ephesus. He warns them, or charges them, you know, take heed to all the flock. Savage wolves will be coming in. Watch. So, at least within the local congregation, there's a certain degree of, you know, protection that, you know, the elders, you know, provide for quote-unquote wolves. Of course, now we're not necessarily talking family in this context. We use some different words, you know, flock and shepherding and wolves. 1 Peter 5, 2, similar concept, you know, shepherding the flock, taking care of the flock, taking care of the family, if you will, protecting, helping to protect the family. Continuing on, instruction. Obviously, within a local congregation, Hebrews 5, verse 12, talks about teach and teachers. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, certainly the construct of, you know, preaching the word, you know, studying the Bible, lessons, etc. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, as Paul says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. You know, we have the Bible, we have classes, we have lessons, we have sermons like this, website, etc. And all those things are of benefit for instructing God's children, brothers and sisters, like we're doing here. And a certain sense of identity. Now, we talked about the physical family and, you know, things like, you know, racial characteristics or social characteristics or hair color or skin color or whatever. Within spiritual family, you know, none of that. Right, which is interesting, at least in a physical sense, because you have within God's spiritual family, you have rich, you have poor, black, white, you know, various ethnic groups. It doesn't matter. One family, one spiritual family, with a certain sense of identity. Matthew 5:9 kind of gives a sense of that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. People like God. People that behave in a similar manner to God. Peacemaking. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. With the Spirit bearing witness that we are children of God. You know, we certainly have a sense of family, quote unquote, family history. Hebrews chapter 11, quote unquote, all faithful. Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 12. You know, where, you know, the heritage, if you will, where Christians can look back on, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, faithful, etc. You know, that's part of our family history, so to speak, and kind of makes up or establishes or illustrates who we should be, how we should act within the family, if you will. Friendship and love. This is an interesting one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So there's a sense of, you know, friendship, love, etc. God to us, but also Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Us among ourselves, let brotherly love continue. So we have that within the spiritual family when it functions as God would intend. How about an inheritance? Romans 8, 17. So if we're children, which the Bible says we are, if we're faithful, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. Well, what are we heirs of? Well, 1 Peter 1, again, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us. Again, in relationship to a family. Living hope. Hey, to an inheritance. There we go. Stocks, bonds, land. Grandmother's prized heirloom quilt. Well, no. Inheritance, incorruptible, reserved in heaven for you. A much greater inheritance as part of the spiritual family that we could ever imagine, you know, as part of a physical family. So we have six things under physical family. We see just easily parallel with our spiritual family. Benefits. Okay, let's shift gears. It isn't all just benefits, right? Even in a physical family, it's not just what you get out of it. There are certain responsibilities, roles, duties within a physical family. And we see things like, you know, the need to instruct or provide guidance, discipline, etc. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 talks about bringing up children in the nurture, admonition of the Lord. Hebrews 12, 7 through verse 9 talk about the need to chasten, to correct within the physical family and that responsibility. We have another duty, if you will, to obey as children. Of course, when we're children, we don't quite like that often, but nonetheless, that's what the scriptures say. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Colossians 3, verse 20. Duty. I put it this way, be nice to brothers and sisters within the family, right? And we'll see some challenges later on about sometimes how brothers and sisters can kind of get a little bit odds with one another. Genesis chapter 37, we kind of see this with what happens with Joseph and his brothers. Be nice. I like that, just broad category. So we sometimes told our kids and told our grandkids, be nice to one another. And helping out around the house, right? That's a normal kind of duty within the physical family. We see that illustrated in Matthew chapter 21, 28 through verse 31, where the father tells, I think, one of his sons, if I remember right, both of his sons, you know, go work today in the vineyard, right? Got something for you to do. Go take care of some things. And, of course, within a physical family, depending on the age, you know, sometimes they're small things, but they're learning how to, you know, take care of, you know, themselves or the family, pitching in because they are part of the family. Those kinds of things. So we have, you know, instruction, obeying, quote-unquote being nice, helping out. Physical families. And we recognize this, these things. Normal responsibilities within the family unit. Everyone kind of pulling their weight as they're able to. Do we have a parallel in the spiritual family? We do, right? Same items. We'll see how they parallel. Starting off with to instruct. So we see this coming, first of all, from God. Coming back to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, you know, God does that as our heavenly Father. We also see different roles, particularly within a local congregation, where that instruction is occurring. Preachers, elders, you know, teachers, Ephesians 4, 11, older women, Titus 2, 4. Even, I think, within our class this morning, you know, Galatians 6, 1. You know, brethren, there's our term. Man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So within the family unit, especially local congregations, there's this duty, if you will, responsibility to teach, instruct, guide, encourage, and if need be, other steps related to congregational discipline when it's appropriate within the family, local family unit, so to speak. How about obey? Well, Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Do we as God's children need to obey the heavenly Father? Yes. Just like do we as physical children need to obey our earthly Father when they tell us things that are appropriate to do? Yes. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 15, as obedient children, okay? And again, contextually, spiritual obedience, spiritual children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, but as he, God, is holy, so also you also be holy in all of your conduct. You know, again, almost like part of the family identity and the normal obedience that children need to have to their father. Spiritual children, you and I, as brothers and sisters, obeying our Heavenly Father. Other duties. Be nice. I like that phrase. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Kindly affectionate to one another with, again, brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. A similar construct, but concerning brotherly love. Yourselves are taught by God, love one another. Urge you, brethren. There you go. We urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. 1 John 4:20, he puts an even sharper point on it, so to speak. If someone says, I love God, right? Oh, I love God. I love my Heavenly Father. I love my... Okay. Hates his brother. Again, we're talking spiritual still. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And of course, you could take these verses and go in all sorts of directions, you know, about being, you know, quote unquote, being nice, you know, within the spiritual family, showing brotherly love, understand, you know, knowledgeable about each other, and whatever trials or hardship or things that your brother or your sister is going through, you know, being knowledgeable, being sympathetic, being empathetic, being helpful. And of course that can, you know, manifest itself in any number of different ways, just casual conversation, kind of understanding more one another, spending time with one another, even sometimes physical things like going over to their house and helping them, whatever, move or take care of a situation, etc. Being nice to one another. And likewise, helping out around the house. Not a physical house, but more of a spiritual house. Although there's a physical aspect there as well, I guess we could talk about. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, kind of a lengthy passage. But if you notice, he's kind of switched gears a little bit visually, away from a family term to more of like a physical body term. Individually members with different gifts. Now, when you read gifts, you might say, oh, yeah, well, that's just spiritual miraculous gifts. Well, not necessarily. Yeah, look at the context. According to the grace given to us, let us use them. Okay, and again, within the body, if ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, showing mercy. And we're not talking, you know, spiritual kind of things. We're talking about, you know, the kinds of gifts that we all have. And again, within the body, finding our role, finding our niche, as we might say, helping out around the physical family. And certainly from a spiritual perspective, ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy, etc. And of course, you could have a secondary application to helping out around the local congregation, physically within the, you know, helping with the building and, you know, people helping out with, you know, taking care of the building and the grounds and the treasury, etc. But at least within this context, more so in a spiritual sense, helping each other as brothers and sisters with whatever needs there may be. And again, predominantly spiritual, but also be, you know, physical or financial or whatever the case may be, emotional. Duties. Okay. So we've talked about benefits. Yay. We talked about duties. Okay. Yeah, we need to have, it requires both. So now we're going to switch over a little bit and talk about challenges. And this is where we reemphasize the aspect of, you know, benefits and duties as God would have the family to function, both physical family, spiritual family. Not all families function that way, unfortunately. Often there are challenges, okay? Some of them are relatively minor. Some of them are major or even potentially devastating. And so we'll see some parallels there. So let's first of all talk about within the physical family. You know, challenges? Well, here are some to consider. Even though we may be born in the same physical family, that doesn't make us clones, right? We all have our own somewhat unique personalities, interests, opinions. Okay, perfectly natural. And yet that can represent a challenge when different people have different things, opinions, things they want to do, etc. Can't all do it at the same time, as an example. Selfishness. Now we're getting a little bit harder challenge. Selfishness with parents, selfishness between siblings, squabbling. You know, that's kind of, I like this little photo here, bottom left, kind of illustrates that. Within the physical family, now we're talking about issues, and some of them very significant. Often with, you know, kids growing up, lots of potential problems. With friends, as we said, you know, music, sexual relationships, drugs, alcohol, gambling, bullying, rebellious behavior, peer pressure, smoking, lying. I mean, it just goes on and on and on within a physical family. Can, you know, almost literally, you know, tear the family apart. Major challenge, big challenge, big challenge. How about favoritism within the family? Or inconsistent discipline within the family? You know, we already mentioned, you know, Joseph and his brothers. Well, if you kind of trace some of that back, there was a certain degree of favoritism with Jacob, with his children. Favoritism kind of run in that family, even back to, if you remember, I think it was like Isaac and Rebekah with Esau and Jacob. You know, there's some favoritism showing there, which can, you know, be a major challenge, can tear the family apart, if you will. And then just outright, you know, squabbling, arguing, you know, open conflict, disagreements, division can literally rip a family apart. Very serious kinds of challenges within the physical family. Do we have those within the spiritual family? Of course not. Ah, but we do. Right? So let's look at some parallels there. Difference of opinions, personalities, interests. Okay, and some of these can be, you know, relatively minor, but can, when pressed, become a problem. Well, Romans 14 is one of a couple of different passages that kind of warns against that, right? Demanding our way. When it's just a matter of opinion, for instance. You know, no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. I think I was reading a few nights ago, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6, where Paul was talking about meat sacrificed to idols. Where you got to pay careful attention to, you know, your brother and not just demand, oh, I have no problem with it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Even though it may cause a problem for my brother or my sister. I think we saw a verse earlier about, you know, esteem each other more highly. You know, put your interests in many ways above mine and not demand that I have, you know, my way or the highway. Again, within matters of judgment, matters of opinion. Selfishness, that can be a problem within the spiritual family. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the quote-unquote golden rule certainly can apply within the spiritual family, at least within the New American Standard. In everything, I like that, everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's called a golden rule for good reason. Certainly highly applicable within spiritual family, local congregation. How about this one? Philippians chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. With those sort of rules in play, so to speak, within the spiritual family, you know, what does that say about, you know, selfishness? Well, it'll tend to push it out of the way, so to speak. Okay, continuing on. How about issues related to all kinds of problems, okay, which we talked about? Do we have those within the Lord's church? Yes. Do we have those within local congregations? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18, talks about being unequally yoked. coming out and being separate from the world. Do not touch what is unclean. Ah, and here we go, an allusion. You know, shall be my sons and my daughters. Of course, that draws a distinction between the way we act versus the way the world acts outside, quote unquote, the walls out there, so to speak. James 4:4 puts a little bit finer point on it. You want to be friends with the world? You want to be friends with people that enjoy these things that God says, stay away from. Friendship of the world, enmity with God. This word, therefore, will be a friend of the world, enemy of God. Which draws a strong contrast, if you will, between the way God's family should work and other families, if you will, outside should work, how they should function, and how to address various quote-unquote issues. You know, understand the distinction between what it means to be a member of God's household, of God's family, to be called a son of God or a daughter of God, and what that means in terms of expectations about conduct and attitudes and behaviors, etc. How about favoritism? Do we have that problem sometimes within a spiritual family? Yeah. 1 Timothy 5:21 tries to address that. I charge thee, observe these things, Paul speaking to Timothy, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. In fact, we're going to talk about this a little bit in class today. You know, sometimes the temptation is, if I have a brother or sister in Christ that, you know, I may not totally get along with, you know, we can get in that kind of a mindset that's like, oh, I caught him. Oh, there they go again. Which can lead to, you know, they can do no right. Everything they do, we see filtered through this lens of, oh, well, they're being, and then fill in the blank, somewhat harsh judgment. Of course, the other side of that coin is, oh, I'm buddy-buddy with this brother or sister, and, oh, yeah, I know they said that, but they didn't mean it. Or, yeah, I know sometimes they do, but that's okay. And, you know, now we're, you know, too lenient. Now we're starting to show favoritism on either side, inconsistent, whatever. And, of course, that can, if you get into a true situation where discipline is needed, you know, you can easily see falling off the balance point when you have to, like, confront someone or talk to someone, confront someone, discipline, withdraw fellowship, etc. Okay? Other challenges. Squabbling, arguing, conflict, etc. And, of course, there's always that danger within a physical family, always that danger within a spiritual family. Same lesson there. John 17, the night that Jesus was betrayed, verse 20 and 21. Jesus praying not only for his immediate disciples, but actually he's praying for us too, right? Those that shall believe on me through their word. Well, what is he praying for? Well, oneness. Just like the Father in Christ, Christ in the Father, they may also be one, united with the Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul, almost basically saying the same thing. Now I plead with you, brethren, there's our term again, all speak the same thing. No divisions. Perfectly joined together. Same mind, same judgment. Likewise, Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:5. And he's, in this particular context, kind of condemning them to a point. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? When it comes to, you know, squabbling, arguing, conflict, you know, agreeing to disagree, well, there may be room for that in terms of opinion, sure. But if it's a matter of the faith, of what the Bible has revealed, well, what should we be striving for? Well, same thing, same mind, same judgment. Well, how do you do that? Well, same standard, right? Following the same rule book. Coupled with what we saw earlier about having the right attitude, one for another, of brotherly love and wanting what's best for your spiritual brothers and sisters. Lots of parallels. So, what can we conclude? Well, I like this thing I brought up, got off the internet. Church is not something you go to. And it's certainly not adultery, right? It's a family you belong to. And again, as I said up front, when functioning as God would have it, both on the physical side and on the spiritual side. But, just like with a physical family, does it take dedication for a family, physical family, to function well?
Yeah.
Does it take time?
Yeah.
Does it take effort?
Yeah.
What about spiritual family? Spiritual family, does it take dedication for a spiritual family to function well, like here?
Yeah.
Does it take time?
Yeah.
Does it take effort?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just to put a slightly, a little more subtle point on it, you know, it's one of the things that I've come to appreciate about this particular congregation. And, of course, depending on circumstances, oftentimes people will come before services, right? Sit in the back and visit with their brothers and sisters. Sometimes, you know, once service is over, they'll kind of hang around and visit, you know, with their brothers and sisters, you know, try to get to know one another better, find out what's going on, etc. Sometimes individuals will go out to eat one another. And so there's this investment, if you will, of time and attention and effort and energy, which is needed for a family, physical family, spiritual family, to function as God would have it. And throughout the whole lesson, hopefully we've seen there are a lot of parallels between a physical family, spiritual family. Benefits that we can enjoy as part of God's spiritual family. Duties, responsibilities, roles we each can play, should play, as a member of the family. Challenges to face and challenges to overcome as part of the spiritual family. Now, all that presumes that you're part of the family, right? There are certain things that occur for you to be part of a physical family, right? I mean, either you're, you know, born into it physically or you're adopted. Well, the same is true for God's spiritual family. You know, this kind of a relationship that we're talking about is not for all of humanity just because God created Adam and Eve and from them the rest of humanity flowed. No, it requires certain entry criteria, if you will. Ephesians 1:5 mentions being adopted. Okay, 1 Peter 1:23 talks about being born through the word of God. How about John chapter 1:12? Many has received him, gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. So it's conditional, right? John 3:5 talks also about being born of water. That's interesting. Romans 6:3 talks about being baptized or immersed into Christ. Of course, part of receiving, part of believing would of necessity say, well, he talks about changed lifestyle. And of course, by that says, well, if you really believe him, you really believe what he says, and he says certain things are wrong that you've been doing, So now we're also talking about repentance. So you have, you know, hearing, you have believing, you have repenting. What I didn't put here was confessing Jesus as Lord, which is kind of embedded within, you know, actually believing. Yeah, I believe he's Jesus the Christ, the Savior. But I'm not willing to say that. Okay, you don't really believe it then. And likewise, being immersed in water, to somewhat symbolize death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and to rise, have your sins washed away, and walk a new life. How about you? Are you a member of God's family? Of course, the last slide kind of says, okay, if you're not, here's how you can become. Are you a faithful member of God's family? Which a lot of the slides previous to that indicated that, you know, there's a lot to it than just, quote unquote, becoming a Christian. It's like, you know, joining, identifying with a local congregation, you know, working with, encouraging one another, you know, offering, you know, help and assistance, reaching out for help and assistance, being able to repent when you've been caught doing something you shouldn't have, just like with a physical family, or being willing to admit that you're having some struggles and being willing to reach out and ask for help from your brothers and sisters. We offer the quote-unquote invitation at the end of the sermon, whether to become a Christian, whether to acknowledge public sin, and be restored as a Christian, or indicating any need you might have to your fellow brothers and sisters. We offer that invitation now as we stand and sing.